Hi, I'm Mr. Ryden, and welcome to Our School Matters, a podcast where we talk to students, staff, teachers, and administrators at Richland County High School. And today we're talking to local band The Pets. We are also starting a video cast as well, so you can, if you're listening to the podcast, you can find us on our YouTube page or our Facebook page. So in this special episode, we have a live performance. We have The Pets here, local band, like I said, guitarist Ian Strong, rhythm guitarist Coit Bays, bassist Drew Blank, sorry, and then Garrett Cummins is the drummer, and then of course Millie Ginder is the lead singer. So why don't you guys start us out with a song?
My guitar.
Your guitar. This is awkward.
Why are you holding it, Mike?
I'm sure.
Read the sticker.
This one. That one. Just put this to the side.
I don't have a pick.
I got you.
I'm professional.
Roll over and take on the day. I grab the ice cream, make it for our breakfast anyway. 'Cause it's our tradition every Sunday to lay around and watch cartoons in our matching PJs. 'Cause I want it more than anyone else. I love you more than anything, even myself. And can I take you out on the 12th and wrap you up in my arms and continue to melt? 'Cause I want you. I want you with me right now. And I want to watch the TV. I want you with me right now. And I want to watch the TV right now. You say you wanna get out this town. I know just how you're feeling and it's bringing you down. 'Cause when we start to float off the ground, we start to act all funny and you look like a clown. 'Cause I wouldn't want anyone else. I love you more than anything, even myself. 'Cause even when you start to dwell, just know that our love has been through heaven and hell. 'Cause I want you, I want you with me right now. And I want to watch the TV.
Thank you. That was excellent. Excellent. So we're going to get some more of the pets later. It'll be in a separate recording from this, actually. You can find it on our YouTube or our Facebook channel. We're going to get a whole performance from these guys. Super excited for that. But first, we've got this interview to get through. So, Millie, you came to the band later on. Mm-hmm. How long ago did you join this band?
Oh, God. Well, it's been probably about 3 months. Four. I'm looking
pretty,
at you
pretty
for
short
approval,
amount of time, though. That's, and no one's that's pretty recent. For
sounds
sure.
about right.
Okay, good.
So how did the four, well, no, then it would have been the three of you were together first, because Coit, you're just now kind of entering.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So how did the three of you kind of get started together as a band then in this first kind of setup that you had?
Well, me and Ian have been jamming together for a while.
Yeah.
Probably a good couple of years. When we started, though, he put me on bass, and I was terrible. I wasn't very good. I couldn't keep rhythm or anything. It was bad. But then later on, I got put on drums.
Yeah.
Of the first, like...
In the Pets' purest form,
yeah.
You could say.
Yeah.
We tried to put Drew on drums, because he's got good rhythm. He does. And we tried him out on drums, and then... That didn't work out super well, and then we ended up putting him back on bass, because originally, way back in the way beginning, we both just played guitar together, and after we graduated high school, you know, had an excess amount of time, we're all just kind of going to OCC and everything.
Yeah.
So, I was like, you know, what if we just started, like, putting some songs together? And then we grabbed Steven, and we were kind of doing stuff here and there, and didn't really work out, but then in this last year, 2023, right? Or was
yeah.
it 24 or 22?
23.
We finally got something rolling. We had a practice space, and we had someone else on drums for a little bit. Mm-hmm. He wasn't really working out. I mean, he just was really inexperienced.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, fate happened upon us, and me and Drew were actually attending another local band's show, Schmuck.
Yes.
And Garrett was there, and we were expressing to Garrett our...
Enter Garrett Cummins.
Yes, we were expressing to Garrett our situation of not being able to find a solid drummer, because at this point, Drew was starting to really get rolling on bass, and we were starting to have some really neat ideas that we were passionate about. Mm-hmm. And then Garrett was just dropped the bomb on us. Well, you know, guys, I play drums. So, I mean, so you know, give it a couple of days, he comes to the practice space, he kind of jams on a couple songs that me and Drew had written, and the chemistry was explosive, and
excellent.
It was great. And then we have been making songs, I mean, just rolling them out, like, it's just fun. You know?
Awesome. So then, Millie, you joined a little later on, more recently then.
Yeah.
And I know you, of course, from your experience in theater, including on this very stage.
Yeah, it's
nine
weird.
To five.
It's weird to be back.
Isn't it?
It's
it's weird
scary.
To have you here interviewing you like this on this stage. What else did you have in here? 9 to 5? I can't, because you were here.
Well, in this theater, hold on. I got to take off my glove for this. In this theater, there's been a lot, but if you're counting like high school in general, like the old Sleva Auditorium, it's even more.
What were your highlights? What were your favorite ones?
Oh,
you have a list here somewhere? Is that what you
have?
Oh,
of course I have a list.
Of course she has a list.
Duh. I'm a very organized person.
No, she's not.
Here we go. I did Wizard of Oz. That was my first show, 2010. Wow. Little Shop of Horrors, 2011. Music Man, 2012. Then I did Annie at OCC. Charlie Brown, 2013. Adam's Family, 2014. Sound of Music, 2016. Joseph, 2017. Chorus Line, 2018. Bring It On, 2019. The World According to Snoopy, 2021. Elf the Musical, 2022. Or 2021. That was 2021 as well. And then 9 to 5, 2022.
Yeah.
And that was just the
one.
That
was your senior year, right?
That was my senior year,
yeah.
Yep.
And Bring It On was actually 2020, because that was our 2019 season, but that was like a month before COVID.
That was the last show. Yeah, that was freshman year.
That was crazy. Well, with all that, and this is from our Adams Family Jr. set as well, some of these pieces.
Yeah, I wondered. They looked a little spooky.
Very Adamsy, yeah. They're being updated for the next play that they're doing. But so that theatrical experience, how do you think that you have translated that into a stage performance experience or a live experience too for performing? Obviously, I would say that it helps.
It does a lot. I was like pushed into it at a young age, so it's just kind of something I've always grown up with.
Pushed into it, huh?
Pushed into it. Good old Mandy Ginder always had a spot for me on stage. Yeah. So that's kind of where I got my start, and I found out that I really liked it, and I just kept doing it, and I kept doing it, and I kept doing it, and I kept doing it, and I'm still doing it. But now I get to go to school for free for doing it, so it paid off.
Excellent.
But yeah, just like I would say it's a lot of like confidence. It helped a lot with confidence, being able to like just put myself out there in front of a lot of people, even if it was something stupid like Curious George or like I don't know. I've been so many things that it's like so many costumes, so much face paint that it's like I've done everything, nothing like.
I'm so you're probably used to vocalizing too, which is something, you know, you can't just go out there and just sing like that's oh I'm
right.
turning that on.
That,
so you
yeah,
kind
of
used to that.
That was the big thing. Yeah. When the boys were kind of looking for somebody to sing for them, Garrett's like, well, Millie does a musical, so I hope she can sing. Like,
Luckily, that worked out. So, with a, I mean, you were fantastic too in the musicals too. I have to say, it was really great to see you guys perform. This is a little digression here that I probably shouldn't go into, but when your mom shared the, she said about the band you guys were in, and I was like, oh, that sounds cool, and she sent the link to me, and I got to tell you, I didn't hear anything yet. My first reaction was, oh, great. Now I've got to listen to this thing and try and find something nice to say about it to my friend, Bobby.
Yes.
Because that's how it goes a lot of times. But I was very surprised by it. And actually, I was listening to it. My wife came in, and she's like, this is pretty good. And then we were like, Eva's going to love this. And it happened to be you guys were playing at the White Squirrel Blackout Festival. And so we just hopped in the car and went down. You guys were great. You had a great performance. You definitely had some of your theatrical stuff added into it.
Yes.
So with such a dynamic performer in the front, how do you guys work to make sure your instruments and your sound stands out individually and kind of give voice to what you individually play?
Well, I think one thing that helps a lot is, and I mentioned this earlier before we were recording, is all of us come from a very wide and different music background. Everyone adds their own piece into what we play. So it ends up every song that we make is a little bit of each person's taste in music, and then that kind of stands out. You know, for example, you can hear Red Hot Chili Peppers in me, or you may hear Rage Against the Machine or Primus in the way that Drew plays, you know?
I heard you guys warming up with some Chili Peppers earlier.
Yeah,
I think.
And so it's, I think we kind of, we work well because we're friends, but we can also stand apart because we have such almost conflicting music taste that all gets poured into the music.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So what are some of your guys' go ahead.
I was going to say also, and you know, whenever you're on stage is just, you got to have, like Millie said, you got to be not scared to just get in front of people and look like what some people would consider to be an idiot. Get up there, play your instrument and have fun. And
get out of your head.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what are some of the other influences? You said some of yours. How about you guys? What are some of your musical influences that you bring?
Yeah, so I usually like to listen to like indie or like R&B type stuff, like Frank Ocean, like
Type of
stuff.
So. I'm kind of a metalhead.
Yeah.
I like pretty much anything that's heavy, so yeah.
I listen to like emo music and like punk rock.
Yeah.
A lot.
So a real mix. And what would you say? I mean, I know you like show tunes.
I like a lot of everything. I just love music in general. So it's like kind of hard to narrow it down. But I say like a lot of my inspiration for this band is a lot of No Doubt. I love Gwen Stefani. A little bit of Olivia Rodrigo.
Could hear both of those for sure.
Yeah. Right now, my number one girl has been Chapel Roan.
Oh, sure. Yeah. My wife is in love with her music.
She
and
is just so great. And like, I've just, everything she does, I eat up. So she's just like, right now is like my biggest inspo for sure. But like,
She's great.
Yeah, I would say Olivia Rodrigo, definitely some Paramore.
Okay.
For sure. If you can think of like a like girl lead singer with a boy band, then that's us.
I
Stevie Nicks.
Right.
Yeah. Stevie Nicks, yeah. Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. Fantastic. I didn't even get to talk about Fleetwood Mac. Fleetwood Mac, hello.
I this is kinda out there, but I had just listened to the Black Keys before I listened to your album, and there was a song on there, and I was going to write it down. I can't remember which, but I don't know if anybody has a Black Keys influence or anything. It had this sound that was really kind of this grungy guitar and like just that really that kind of approach there. So when you are at this point, you've been a band together for a little while, but thinking about a lot of other ventures, not that long overall, and you're new to the process, of course, Coit. And Millie, you're pretty new to the process. It's kind of an unconventional start to your first album, I'd say. And this is, I heard that you had a number of tracks that were already kind of cut musically. And that when you approached Millie, you sent those to her and just said, lyrics, please? Is that a rough approximation?
I mean,
what happened?
Yeah, that's basically what it was like. It was like, here's some demos. We would love if you would put lyrics to it. By the way, we were performing 2 weeks, so get on it.
So where did these tracks come, just from the band iteration you had previously, or was it just kind of stuff of you guys? Because I know you had a previous lead singer. What was that process like? Was there more that you came up with after that person was gone? Or
so some of them were made whenever we had our previous lead singer, and then some of them were just me and Garrett for a while, you know, with Drew being in a different town. And right. After our other lead singer quit, me and Garrett were just showing up to practice for a good few weeks, I'd say, wasn't it? And we just, me and him, just did guitar and drum tracks together, maybe a little bit of bass stuff, and we just made up a bunch of stuff that we felt was good. And then, so that went to Millie. If our previous lead singer had done anything, Millie pretty much reworked it to how she felt it needed to be. And then she was able just to put a totally new spin on any of the demos that me and Garrett had recorded together in between having no singer and approaching her to help us out.
It's a really interesting approach to songwriting, probably somewhat unconventional, I think. So how did you approach this? Did you have material already, or was it just you?
Well,
I think this feeling will fit. Like, how'd you pick topics for it? Or
yeah, it was start? It was kind of hard. I'd never like really written songs before, so that was like kind of something new. I was like, I didn't know where to really start. But me and Coit have been going to practices for a while, so I had been hearing these songs.
Oh, okay, so you're familiar with them.
So like, for example, Gumby, I had the chorus for that song written in August of last year. So I had some stuff I knew I wanted to incorporate, and then some stuff just kind of on the fly. I listened to it a couple times. I just write whatever I feel. They all had song names, so
stuff besides just the sonic.
Right. Influence. So for that, I kind of went off. Like Parasite Peter was a big one. That's such a funny name.
Yeah, I wondered about that.
So that one I made about like terrible ex-boyfriend, like such a parasite, Parasite Peter. Yeah. So it was fun to like go off of the names and stuff. But yeah, it was definitely a new experience, and I'm definitely writing different.
Okay.
Differently in the future. I want to like.
So was it kind of a marathon too? Because you said like just a few weeks you got a gig basically.
Right.
So you had to fill that gap pretty quickly. So it was kind of a rushed
venture. Yeah, that was really stressful.
Yeah.
I work, I go to school.
Right.
I also do the musicals. So that was the first week of Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh,
was
boy.
When I needed to start writing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was that first read through, and I had an AirPod in listening to demos, writing music.
Well, you're writing.
Like,
wow. Yeah.
So it was rough a couple weeks, but I made it. I do wish I had more time because, you know, I just don't feel like they're perfect and how I want them to be. But I'm proud of what I did in such a short amount of time.
I think the pressure is a crucible, too, that kind of brings things out that wouldn't have happened otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely.
I find that if I, any creative venture, if I have more time, I will use it and then use more and more until I die, basically, is what it seems like for a lot of projects I'm working on.
Right.
So maybe that did help. So did you all work together then? How did that process go? Like, you, I assume that you had the lyrics and then you came back. And was it sort of like a, well, we got to get this done, we're just going to go with what we got? Or did you get the chance to kind of work together and tweak everything?
It was a little bit of both, I feel like.
The good thing is Millie did a really good job for the most part. Mm-hmm. But I am also now scared to shoot down bad ideas or bad ideas or ideas I don't like. I don't mind to shoot down. So if I had to, I would tell her, I don't think this works. I don't think this is what me and Garrett had in mind whenever we wrote this, and then she would change it. So I mean, really, there wasn't a whole lot that needed to be changed. Mm-hmm. Whenever she was kind of like giving them back to us, and we were listening to them again for the first time, but it was also very easy to tell her this doesn't work. She took it back, came out with something different.
So are you working on new stuff yet? Or, I mean, are you guys always kind of writing and working on new stuff during practice? What is the thought right now? Are you just sort of, we've got this album, just came out, the album is what this is, question mark, just if anyone's looking for it out there, because the pets might be a little too common, but it's a nice name. I was kind of surprised that isn't taken, you know?
Yeah.
So, what's the process right now? Are you just sort of like, no, we've got to get our music out there? Or is there actually like thoughts about, well, this could be our next step?
We're pushing the current album pretty hard. We're doing paid advertisements through Facebook. We're doing a lot of TikToks on them. You know, the typical social media stuff.
Interviews with high school teachers.
Everything we can get, any sort of like local publicity we can get. We have an article that's currently being written about us.
Excellent.
And but that doesn't stop us from doing and creating more, because first and foremost with the band is it's fun, and we wouldn't do it, and we wouldn't be so committed, and we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't like extremely fun. So yeah, we're always writing new songs. And I mean, at Eclipse Festival, you saw one. One of those was not on the album. It was brand new. We just played it there for fun.
Okay.
And as far as just instruments, I would say we're probably about 50% the way through the next one, I would say. Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe a little over 50% the way as far as instruments go.
Very good.
Which that won't happen, you know, super soon, but,
yeah,
you know, content-wise, I mean, we're 7-8 songs deep.
Excellent. So you talked about your that push is right now, though, for getting your music out there.
Absolutely.
How long ago did the album get released?
It was April 1st, so that would be... Wow. 3 weeks or 2 weeks from this Monday, 3 weeks from this Monday.
So what is your, I mean, you mentioned TikToks and stuff like that. What is that strategy look like right now? Is it just, it's just random? It stresses me out so much, like publicity and like publicizing things. I wish I had another person in my orbit that was good at it. So what is your approach? Just play as much as you can?
So, well, our last, is it the most recent TikTok?
Yeah,
where we... there's this trend right now that's going on. It's like, oh, guess who the whatever instrument player does. And this time we decided to go with bass. And everybody played my bass guitar except for me. And I was laying on Ian's windshield acting like he hit me with his car.
Because comedy goals. Yeah.
Comedy.
Because we understand comedy.
Yeah, well, TikTok comedy has a certain...
Right.
You got to copy that.
That's the thing. We're trying to appeal to like the... Yeah.
Especially trends.
Those type of people.
That's the thing I found difficult to keep up with in trying to publicize our video stuff.
It's hard, yes.
And I get how you feel, because it sucks, because it's not my thing. Yeah. I want to be in control all the time.
Well, I wish I cared more about that, had something to do, because it's important if you want people to see you. So you guys have played several shows now. What's kind of a favorite show experience so far? There's a really good turnout at the White Squirrel Blackout for sure.
I personally really enjoyed playing at the Commune.
Yeah.
We played, all of our songs were faster paced, you know.
Yeah.
Because we were in a punk house, we were gonna play our faster paced songs. The energy in there was crazy. Everybody was moving around having a good time.
People up in your face constantly.
Yeah.
It's a cool environment. Yeah. It's a really cool environment.
It was fantastic. He's right. It was great.
I kept pushing Ian while he was trying to prepare for the set. Like before the set started, I would come up and push him.
I was trying to lock in. I was watching the band before us play, and I was trying to focus, and then he kept coming out of the mosh pit and hitting me. I'm inclined to agree with Drew about Commune being our best show, but a front runner for me is actually America's Groove, because that was the first show that Millie played with us, and where she had to write all these lyrics in 2 weeks, and just the nervousness and the feeling of being on top of the world and the success of being able to throw something together that quickly and it working out.
It's thrilling.
Was so relieving and thrilling, exactly.
Yeah.
And it was such a weird situation, and it felt great.
Is that America's Groove, is that the Effingham Records store?
Yep.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I just want to make sure.
You can actually buy a pet CD there if you want.
Yeah,
and there's two left.
She knew she'd be excited. Now. Yeah, they actually said that you guys were really good and you performed there. So I'd heard that you guys were up there.
Yeah, we want to go back.
That'd be great.
Awesome. It's a great record store, too. Yeah. They're really cool there. I like that place a lot. It's Record Store Day, I believe, isn't it?
Yes.
So yeah, we
were actually just there.
I might be going there after the show, actually. So,
yeah.
Wheeling it back a little bit, where did the name come from originally? You were the Pets before?
You guys take
this. Millie was here? You were an incarnation before, but it was the Pets, right?
The Pets was the Pets whenever it was just me and Drew.
Okay.
Way back when it was just forever ago.
Was it just like, oh, I can't believe no one else has taken this name, or is there a genesis?
Well, no, actually, someone had recommended a name to me whenever I was trying to think up our name to go by, and they said the Peps, P-E-P-S.
Oh, yeah.
And I misheard, and I said, the Pets, good name. That's they said, no, that's not name. What I said, and I said, well, I'm going to take the Pets anyway. So we did this.
Too bad.
So as the Pets, if each one of you individually were a pet, what kind of pet would you be?
This is the question I've been waiting for. Well, go ahead.
Clay, you go first.
She's got the biggest, right? I'm guessing.
I want to be a monkey. I've always wanted to be a monkey.
I got to think of a different answer now.
Oh, man, I think it'd be pretty cool to be like a tarantula or something. Okay. Or like a snake, maybe. I don't know. Something kind of rare.
Says the metalhead.
Yeah.
Something metal. Tarantula or snake.
I'm going to go with the basic answer, and I think I'd be a dog. But specifically a dog, kind of like my dog, that's very easily irritated. So one minute I love you, and then the other minute I'm just
peeing on the floor.
I'm peeing on the floor, and my teeth are showing, and I'm ticked. And then you give me a little pat or a treat, and I just love you again.
You'd be like my little Freya at home.
Yeah,
a little terror. Yeah.
I'm gonna go with like a crocodile.
Is that a pet?
I don't know if that's a pet.
That's not a pet.
If you live in Florida,
you have to be a pet.
I think crocodiles eat
pets.
I'll be a parrot.
Okay. That makes more sense.
Garrett's a parrot.
Garrett's parrot. Monkeys aren't great pets either. They tend to be taken out of homes.
I've seen a monkey as a pet before, though. We can take that.
Yeah.
Ever been to Florida?
I choose a cat. Meow.
Boo.
Meow.
Okay, that's enough.
There's enough.
We're all very.
That's what we do for the sound check. Is they're like, is your microphone on? Yep, it's on.
It's actually getting weirdly better the more I hear it now.
I'm becoming the cat.
We are the Pets.
The Pets.
So Alni has actually, I think to an outsider anyway, they'd be surprised, a pretty decent music and arts scene, really, for a small southern Illinois town. What's your thoughts about that, the local places? Like, what are the good places to play? How supportive have people been around here?
I think that most places around here are excellent because we are a small town in Illinois, and you got to realize that that demographic. Having a band play, especially a band that like puts on a show like Schmuck or Us, who goes up there and really grabs your attention, you know, not just some like background music bar band, is really novel, you know? It doesn't happen very often. You don't see like bands rolling through here and putting on shows that you're supposed to sit there and watch.
Right.
So like going to the Eagles or playing at like Bower Park Stage, I feel like is a novelty.
Yeah.
And it's always super fun. But I think that you guys could probably agree that Eagles is great. Everyone,
yeah,
Eagles,
I love Eagles, yeah.
Eagles is a nice place to play. People go in there; they're very responsive.
Super easy to cooperate
with. The crowd is usually really good at Eagles. One of the other places we never got the chance to play at was Deuces Wild. The crowd's
Is that place still open?
Yes.
Okay.
I know,
it rebranded a few times, so.
Yeah.
From watching other bands play at Deuces, it's like just basically a bunch of drunk idiots just walking around, barely
Deuces
listening.
Deuces wild?
Crazy.
I don't know. I don't know if I buy that.
It's like, well, they'll have like a pretty good band up playing on in front of everybody, and no one's really paying attention unless you, like for me and Coit and... Like our case, for the New Year's Eve show, we went for the music.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Obviously, since we're 20 years of age.
Yeah.
But.
I know. I saw my neighbor that day, and she's like, "How'd you get in here?" And I was like, "They're letting everybody in for the show. Don't worry.
Just letting everybody in.
They're letting everybody
in. They're going back to the old days of Molly.
Yeah.
So how's the fan response been overall? I've seen some really excited people that actually seem familiar with you guys already at the one show I saw.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think so far? Is it online reaction versus people showing up?
Your turn to talk, Gary.
I think in person, we've had a lot more response like at shows. We haven't had as big of a following online yet just because we're so new.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that had heard our album like for the week that was out before the Eclipse Festival,
mm-hmm.
seem to like know some of the lyrics and were like jamming along with it, so that was really cool.
That rocks, yeah.
That they were able to do that.
Awesome.
We also have a very good group of people who go to all of our shows, like my wonderful parents who are sitting and watching us do this
audience.
Right now.
Our audience of three, including Mr. Whitecamp.
Yes, thank you.
And like, and we got friends, and then like, you know, family of friends, and we have a very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Big heaping handful of people who follow us around and go everywhere.
That'll go to every show.
And they'll go to every show, and we really appreciate that. And then
that's
we
who
also
we're really
have,
playing for.
Shout and then, out like, to the friends and family for sure.
Yes.
And you know, with us kind of like us and then, you know, a couple other groups kind of like spearheading this you know, local only music scene, people are starting to consistently come out and watch, and that's great. You know, even if they don't necessarily follow us on Instagram or they see our TikToks or anything, they hear about us through like, you know, the Eagles newsletter, they hear about us through the Chamber of Commerce mm-hmm. newsletter with the Eclipse Fest, and they see the name and they're like, oh, I've seen them, and mm-hmm. then they come out, and then you end up having really good crowds. You know, 161 followers on Instagram pulled what would you say the crowd was at Eclipse Festival? 300 maybe?
Well, it was pretty deep too. I because we showed up and you guys, I think you hadn't started playing yet, but you were like sound check, you're just about ready to go, and if you know Tanera and I, the first thing we did was just walk past every single person and walk right up to the front and plant ourselves there. They were really spread out far back, like all the way back to those picnic tables back there. And I know they compress more during the show, but yeah, several hundred people for sure. It was well attended.
So I agree with Gary. I would say that just the live and the actual like real life reaction is super fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. And I think that we've kind of tightened up our sound to be able to put on a good show. So hopefully that'll continue to be a trend.
Do any of you have a personal favorite song to perform? Like what's the one that really gets you going, that locks you in?
It's a cover, but I like our cover of Gratitude by Beastie Boys.
Nice.
That one's pretty fun.
Such a good one.
I would say one of my favorites to perform is Rain. Just because that's like, there's like a really big buildup in there, and it's just fun to play.
Cool. Awesome. Well, did I cut somebody off? Sorry. So the album is What This Is. What's the story behind that name?
Well, one of the first songs that me and Drew ever wrote sitting in my living room, we wrote two songs.
Mm-hmm.
One was called Heartbeat in the Brain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The other one was called on What This Is.
Mm-hmm.
And those songs have made it from, you know, the very first time we ever played together all the way up into being on the album and also being played at every single one of our shows, never being left out.
So it's kind of a mantra at this point. Almost.
Yeah.
Last two songs of the set.
Yeah, last song of the night is always
those two
what
are
this
always
is,
the last
preceded
two.
Cool. by Heartbeat in the Brain. And
which is a great track, too. Yeah.
Thank you. We love playing them. That was going to be my favorite pick was What This Is.
And, excellent. Heartbeat is my favorite.
Yeah.
Heartbeat's great.
So. What This is simply the title track because it's one of the first songs we made together. We love it so much. It's so much fun to play. I mean, and it's the one that I feel like people would know us the most for. We always put all our eggs in one basket. You know, it's the end of the show. We put everything else we got left in it into that song. And so it felt fitting to be the name of the album. And I think that it just made sense. And the song itself was actually named after a band. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge Red Hot Chili Peppers fan.
Yeah, me too.
And they had a guitarist named Hilo Slovak back in the 80s. Uh-huh. He passed away tragically. Yeah. And he had a band on the side called What Is This? Hilo Slovak did. And I was listening to some of their like songs. You can find them on YouTube. And I kind of modeled What This Is after one of the songs from that band. So I kind of flipped the words around a little bit to name it after that band.
Excellent.
Just kind of stuck.
I see. That's great. I think we'll leave it there. The band is The Pets. We have Millie Ginder, Ian Strong, Drew Blank, Garrett Cummins, and Coit Bays. Sorry, I suck with names. I have my list here. You have any upcoming performances?
We do have a few scheduled.
Besides the one here.
But we don't want to let them out yet because we are planning a summer tour. And we're going to release a whole list of dates for this summer.
Excellent.
But we do have some big things planned for summer break.
Coming to a city near you.
Coming to a city near all of
awesome.
Illinois.
Well, we will be sure to share any of that info. And you can, of course, follow them on their socials. It's just The Pets.
Yep. I mean, the _ pets dot _.
Something like that.
Just look up The Pets. You'll probably
find it. Yeah. Throw in a song title or two.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for talking to me today. And we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to record a live performance of them that you can find on our YouTube and Facebook. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
What the Sigma?
Our School Matters with your host, Jeffrey Ryden. Produced by the Richland County VAT Club. Executive produced by Jeffrey Ryden. Multicam video recording operator is Brendan McGlasson. Theme and incidental music composed and performed by The Pets. Research provided by VAT Club members. Our School Matters is hosted by the Voices of Richland County Podcast Network, an RCHS VAT Club affiliate. Please rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and we may read your comments on our show. You can also contact us at vatclub@rccu1.net. Subscribe to us on your preferred podcast app, or you can see videos of all new episodes starting with Season 2 on the Richland County VAT Club Facebook and YouTube pages.